This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Songs with. Songs with.
Ones we can depend on.
Songs with.
How many of us have them?
Songs with.
Before we go any further.
Songs with.
Place to Be Nation, thank you for checking out Songs with Friends, Episode 9, here on the Place to Be Nation Pop Feed. I am Steve Williams, and with me, as always, is Kelly. Kelly, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. It feels like it's been about 23 years since we've spoken.
I know.
So I am happy to be sitting with you for this next hour, talking all kinds of nonsense about music, pop culture, and otherwise. This past weekend, as we record, I went to Chicago for the All In professional wrestling event held by the Bucks of Youth in Cody Don't Call Me Rhodes. It was a fun time. I spent some time with a friend of the show, Kevin DeFrango. Had some sippy time beer and some Chicago pizza, and I may or may not have lost my shit, both in a main event restaurant and also in the middle of the Sears Center, threatening to fight all kinds of passersby, but I'm sober and better now.
We cannot let you go drinking out in the world.
You know, I wasn't going to be too bad at All In because Miller Lite was $10.
Oh, that's how they keep people in check at those sporting events.
My compatriot, who I cannot name because he works for a major university, did not let that $10 entry point stop him.
I would have lived to that like ability of money in life where that wouldn't stress me out. Like I would be freaking out. Like,
all my man was just full on encouraging me, and it almost got ugly just because I'm afraid of no one, man, beast, or otherwise. And yeah, it was rough.
You don't need encouragement.
True, true. I'm just a full asshole, no matter how you put it. But yeah, it was a fun weekend. I'm glad we made it back alive. And I do look forward to some multimedia being released from that. While I was up there, I did get to record some podcasting with my good close personal friend, Rich Fan, for the Pro Wrestling Torch. I'm not sure under what header that will be released as, if it's going to be a deep dive or just a standalone audio, but we did some good audio podcasting at the lobby that night, and I got to meet Brian Alvarez and Dave Meltzer of The Observer, so that was a good time. I got to meet the Laps fan guys. It was an all-around good weekend, and I look forward to doing something like that again. Speaking of running into people and appearing on audio, not the smoothest segue, but hell, you know, I'm not exactly the most polished person here. We've had several inquiries lately about guests to our fine program we're running here. And I don't want to say we don't want guests because that would just be a falsity. I think the chemistry here is best when it's just myself and Kelly. She may or may not agree with that. I will give her an opportunity to plead the fifth if she wants to here.
I'll back you up on that.
Yeah. But really the idea and the spirit of the flow is just a back and forth of two people giving their acknowledgments and their interpretation, so to speak, of the songs. Bringing a third person in can muddy that up a bit. However, we will be bringing in some guests for special occasions. We do already have a couple lined up, at least two that I'm aware of, possibly a third. So yeah, be looking for those in the fairly new future. Mainly, I want to bring on people who do have something to plug. I feel like we are a popular enough show now that we can use our platform to help others. And I want to use that to the best of our abilities by not having someone on every week, but picking our spot, so to speak. Kelly, anything you want to say before we get started?
No, you said it perfect.
All right. I feel like I'm rambling here, so I wanted to pitch to you and not monopolize our time here.
I'm used to it. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, damn. Kelly calling me to task here on the... Here on Songs with Friends.
It's either going to be on Twitter or on Songs with Friends. I'm going to get you. I'm just kidding.
Or Songs with Acquaintances, as Kevin called out.
We're changing the name.
All right, guys. Our first song this week is a scandalous piece of business. From the 1972 album 360 Degrees of Billy Paul, this is Me and Mrs. Jones, as sang by Billy Paul. Now, I picked this song mainly because I have at least 25 songs in the queue currently. And when I was writing out our format last week, I could not remember the title of any of those songs. And this one popped into my head, and I said, screw it, that's it. It's an oldie but a goodie. It's one of my favorite R&B songs of that era. So I guess I will lead us off here.
Okay.
First off, this man's name is Billy Paul. It is not Billy Jones. So right away, me and Mrs. Jones, we got a thing going on. He's telling on himself immediately.
Yes.
I mean, this is a man who's here for business. He's not here to play games. He's going to let you know he is popping off with Mr. Jones's wife.
As Cam would say, as I learned, right? Dirty Mackin' already, so.
It is. Thank you for the reminder. This is a Dirty Mac Hall of Fame song.
I'm learning so much from this show.
We both know that it's wrong, but it's much too strong to let it go now. So this is not the first date between Billy and Mrs. Jones. And first off, if you're going to be a lecherous individual, maybe it's time to go with Bill as your name. Billy sounds a little too innocent to be knocking off the milkman's wife. I don't know.
That's right. That's right. That's a little boy's name.
And he's doing a man's business here.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. Now he gets into the specifics, the details, the nuts and bolts of the affair. We meet every day at the same cafe, 6:30, and no one knows she'll be there. Now, I beg to differ, Billy. Mm-mm, you are nope. A piss-poor planner. Every day at 6:30, some poor busboy looks over that table, and he says, well, there's that whore again.
Yeah, people know. Somebody knows.
Like, he thinks he's being cool by wearing, like, a baseball hat real low and some sunglasses.
Yeah. But you can't be having an affair and going to the same place every day. It's just not going to work.
Yeah, but Benita the waitress knows that fucking Billy Paul is going to come in for a slice of pie and his heavy petting in booth three. Yes.
Well, and until you read the next line, you almost think like he might be stalking her or something. You know, like, I go there. Ooh. I know she's there. But then he gets into their doing stuff. So it's like, eh.
Yeah, that kind of ties into a few shows back. We talked about the guy that was going to Wendy's and stalking the girl from the parking lot.
Seriously, she might be. Yeah.
Ooh. Holding hands, making all kinds of plans while the jukebox plays our favorite songs. All right. So I have another question here. Is this strictly a cafe arrangement, or do they go elsewhere? Like, how do they get to this point where it's like a daily blind date kind of situation? You would think if they're holding hands and making plans that at the very least they've consummated something here on their own time.
Yeah. Maybe not.
Maybe
guilt will get you.
Every day at 6:25, Mrs. Jones is just pouring milk down the drain.
That could be.
It's like fucking Meet the Parents. Oh, I gotta go get Tom Collins mix. Looks like we're out.
Nobody could do this. They're not fooling anybody. That's all I can say.
If this was today, Mr. Jones would turn on that Find My iPhone feature.
Yes. Find my wife.
Yes. And he would beat the shit out of young Mr. Paul.
But what year is this song?
1972.
So it's very possible. Shoot, even when I was in high school, you know, I didn't have no cell phone. Nobody could track me. You know? So, I mean.
And she goes out at 6:30. She eats her apple pie. She makes these plans with young Billy. And that's another question. How old is Mrs. Jones? Like,
I feel like she's older than him.
Yeah, I think this is a May-December situation.
Mm-hmm.
So now, me and Mrs. Jones, we got a thing going on. We both know that it's wrong, but it's much too strong to let it go now. So he is just wrist deep into this situation right now. Maybe that was poor verbiage.
Yes. I was going to let that go.
But he's in love, clearly, at this point.
Mm-hmm.
He knows he's dead ass wrong. And you know, in the next part here, he says, we got to be extra careful that we don't build our hopes up too high. I think that's more of a he needs to be extra careful. Because we don't really know, is there a Mrs. Paul at home?
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, that we really threw me off there.
Oh, yeah.
Because she's got her own obligations, and so do I.
Well, he's saying he has them, so.
He has obligations, but, I mean, that could be that he's got to finish his science project.
Yeah, that's true. What kind of age difference are we getting at right now? I'm getting a little concerned.
Is it a statutory situation? We don't know, man.
We do not know. We do not.
Here on Songs of Friends, we speculate, we investigate, we get to the bottom of these things. We figured
out wild opinions, really.
No, we figured out that your boy from Metallica is most likely allegedly a homosexual.
We did. Dido is a homewrecker.
the Dido is a noted side piece. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we get to the nitty gritty of these things.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Oh, well, it's time for us to be leaving. It hurts so much. It hurts so much inside. Now she'll go her way, and I'll go mine. And tomorrow we'll meet at the same place, the same time. Now, at the beginning of that section of lyrics there, I assumed that he was symbolically leaving the relationship this time.
Yes.
Yeah, it hurts so much. But I'll be back tomorrow. You make sure you pour that milk out, damn it, to have a reason to leave the house.
But you know, like, when you're young and you fall in love, like, you could not be around someone for a few hours and you'll feel like you're gonna die or whatever, you know what I mean? So maybe, I mean, he's being dramatic, but he probably feels like when he doesn't, I don't know, he's only seeing her what, like an hour a day, so those other 23 hours might feel pretty shitty.
And also, you know, it's 1972, so they're not texting, they're not kicking, whatever the hell the kids are doing these days. When he's not around her, he doesn't know what's going on.
That's true.
She's clearly got her whole life with a husband, and it's 1972, so I'm assuming no less than 6 kids.
Yeah. Yes, that's accurate. Well, no, because that is true. Like, I was just talking about someone about that recently. Like, relationships are escalated so much quicker now when two people meet. You know, they can text all day or communicate or talk or whatever. You know what I mean? It used to not be like that. You had to, you know, you had to just see them at school or whatever the case may be in the neighborhood, you know, and you couldn't. Hell no, my parents wouldn't let me sit on the damn phone all the time with some guy, you know. So it's like, you know, so I mean, yeah, that's, it's just different. It's like constant communication.
Yeah, and he has that insecurity of just not knowing where she is, what she's doing, but also the risk is there of losing it all just by her being caught.
Yeah.
You know, if she slips up at home and the husband finds out and she can just disappear without a trace. One day he goes there at 6:30 in the cafe. I'm assuming the evening and not the morning because that would just be weird. And he's there with his plate of meatloaf just waiting for Mrs. Jones to walk in.
She doesn't have to cook for her family back in 1972. It just seems like
this. No, that's why she has the pie. He's there for his dinner. Yeah. He comes by for the dessert and the coffee.
That's it.
And
that's
the alleged canoodling.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he's every second that he's not with her, he probably is hurting because he doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah.
He gets in his own head. He works himself into a chute, so to speak. And he just hopes that tomorrow when he comes back, that she'll be there again.
Yeah. I feel like you're always putting me in these situations of trying to defend affairs on the show. But I'm saying, it's sad. If they want to be together, you know, whatever. I don't know. I guess back then people were less likely to divorce and whatnot as of, you know, as in today. So,
you know, that was not my intention. But now that you say that out loud, I have established a pattern of behavior here with my song choices.
Yes. Yes.
Wait till next week when I pick Biz Markie's Just a Friend here on Songs with
Friends. Oh, my God. That's awesome. That's awesome.
No, that one is on the board. In the queue.
It's on the board.
Yeah, it won't be my next pick.
Okay.
All right. So, it may be a record. 14 minutes in, we've already done an intro and the first song. So
that song is short. My song is short, too, this week, actually. I was kind of surprised when I went through it, but I feel like we could have a little bit more discussion about it. So
yeah, and you know, we don't need 3.5 hours to dissect every fucking liner note of this music.
I'm out on those 3.5 hour podcasts forever, so I can't do it. So.
Yeah, no offense to the other podcast members of our family. I will recommend a longer show. I keep meaning to recommend our sister shows on here. Talkin' Pop recently covered 90210 retrospective.
Yay!
I haven't listened to it yet, but looking at the parties involved, I'm sure it will be approximately 6 days long. But I look forward to diving into that. That's something I can listen to over the course of several days. They're going to make me laugh. They're going to entertain me. Jenny gives me all kinds of shit about my Twitter activity, but she is one of my favorite people in the Place to Be Nation Pop community. So yeah, anytime you can just let her off the leash and let her do her thing, it's magic.
Yes.
So I very much look forward to listening to that show.
She knows everything. She's into all of it. Pop, wrestling. I don't know anything about wrestling, so.
Yeah, we got to get you indoctrinated. You know, you watch SummerSlam.
I did watch SummerSlam. You're right. Yeah, I did.
You updated me with thoughts throughout the show. You had some good insight. You had good questions.
Yes, it was interesting. I did enjoy it. So.
Yeah, if our good friend Jeff Machado happens to be hit by another vehicle, that we will slide you into the Jeff Learns Wrestling spot.
Okay. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, Jeff's had a rough year, man.
Oh, really? He has? I'm laughing. What happened?
I don't remember the specifics, but there was a motor vehicle accident.
Oh, okay. We don't want to wish for that. I thought you were being funny.
No, absolutely not. You know, just... All right. Let's move on to your pick this week.
Which
I believe was a listener request. Is that right?
Well, sort of. I'm not going to claim it that. I'll tell you about that in a minute. So do you want me to start? Or you probably have some feedback on the song, some background.
This is from the 1993 album Siamese Dream. This song is Disarm by the Smashing Pumpkins. Mm-hmm. And Kelly, tell us why you picked this song.
Okay. Well, I know I'm alone on this with a lot of people, but I love the Smashing Pumpkins. So I was probably like 14, I guess, when this song came out or something. And I love them. And even recently I'd posted one of their songs like on Instagram and a bunch of people I went to junior high with were like, oh my gosh, I still think about you when I hear the Smashing Pumpkins, which is like, it's just funny because I did listen to them a lot. But no, I had reached out to Russell Sellers because he's also a Smashing Pumpkins fan. And I don't feel like I meet that many of them, but, his feedback on this song, I'll share as we're listening to it, but he actually told me this was his least favorite song on the album. And I was like, oh, it's my favorite. So, which is cool, whatever. But, you know, Russell does the Marble Age podcast on our Place to Be Nation. So anyways, yeah, this is his least favorite song, but he was very kind to share what he thought about it. So as we go on, I'll let you know what he was thinking. No, so
I thought this was a listener request, and it turns out the listener was requesting that you do anything but Disarm.
I don't know if he's going to take it that way, but I was like, whoa, it's actually, yeah. But I mean, that's music. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's just so crazy. He's telling me all these, you know, songs on there and what they mean to him. And I was like, this is a song that captured me. And that's just how it is with music, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So when it comes to the Pumpkins, I am, you know, Billy's voice can get grating, but I love a lot of the arrangements. It's a very unique sound. And I think his voice not being the best probably helps the package, to be honest.
Yeah.
When you named this song when we recorded last time, I didn't recognize it by title. But once I actually listened to it, I know this song. I really actually enjoy this song.
Yeah.
And since we last spoke, I mentioned All In before. This was used as a music video choice to hype the NWA title match between Cody and Nick Aldis. So yeah, that was I don't know if you got a chance to watch that piece of business. I know it was linked to your Twitter account.
I did see it. I was really excited. Yeah, I did see that.
Yeah.
Russell sent it to me.
Yeah, I didn't watch it until today, you know, 4 days after the show. But Yeah, that was really well put together. They did a good job splicing clips with the champion and challenger as little boys. Boy, little boy sounds weird when you say it out loud like that.
Yeah, it does sound kind of weird.
As children. But yeah, it was a great use of a good piece of music.
Yeah.
So, Kelly, yeah. Do you want to get us started here?
I will get us started. Okay. So, and I just think, like, you know, before the lyrics, like when the song starts, it has like these, I don't know, like church bells, I guess. And it has a lot of like, I don't know, orchestra type. And I don't know, for some reason, I'm not really into that normally, but I think the church bells are significant when we're talking about the content of this song, and it's rather depressing, but we're going to get into it. So, anyways, it starts with disarm you with a smile and cut you like you want me to cut that little child inside of me and such a part of you. And then it says, oh, the years burn. So I think, I don't know, I didn't realize this about this song and I felt bad. I'm just going to say this because I had emailed Russell a few days after within my dad dying. We were talking about this song and he was like, oh, I feel really bad to even bring this up given the situation. But he was saying how the premise of this song is like him wanting to kill his parents because of how horrible they were to him growing up. And I was like, holy crap. So it kind of gave me some perspective about like being appreciative of the life that maybe I had. So, because obviously he wasn't going to kill his mom and dad, but that's kind of what he wrote this song about. And so I just, you know, when I read that first part to me, that's just kind of like, you know, as a child, it's like, maybe he's just trying to smile through life, but his life is shitty. You know what I mean? His parents aren't good. I think it might give into insight into why this guy's probably kind of an asshole in general, you know? So, did you have any thoughts on that, Steve?
First off, why are you calling Russell Sellers an asshole?
I did not say that. Oh my God, that came out so wrong. Don't do that.
We love Russell. I'm just ribbing him.
Yeah.
No, you know, I was a bad co-host this week. I did not do much research until I opened my laptop up to record.
Yeah.
And, you know, with going out of town and whatnot, blah, 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 excuses, not professional. Anyway, I kept finding where fan forums and whatnot were saying that he had said this.
Yeah.
About Billy killing his parents. And I couldn't find a direct attribution to the quote. It's just, oh yeah, he said this, and it, like, I don't know if that's legitimate or not.
I know.
Reading the lyrics, it certainly checks out, but it could be very much one of those situations, how like when we were in high school and everyone said Lauryn Hill went on Oprah and said she didn't like white people.
Yeah.
One of those things that everybody thought was true, but nobody really could confirm that they saw it.
Yeah.
Given the lyrical content here, I think there is enough to go on there for that being a real thing.
Yeah. Well, and I'll be honest, like when I liked this song when I was younger, I think I was less into lyrics of songs back then as much as just the way it sounded and, you know, whatever. I didn't really think about what it sounded like. And I had, you know, I always associate songs with a breakup or whatever. And I, you know, broke up with a boyfriend and I just kind of like listened to this song a lot. And I don't know why, I mean, because it's, but I didn't ever think it was about killing his parents. So I mean, reading some of it, I do think that is kind of what he's getting at. So we'll go to the next part. It says, I used to be a little boy, so old in my shoes, and what I choose is my choice. What's a boy supposed to do? The killer in me is the killer in you, my love. And I just think, you know, and it's kind of reminded me like when we did the Metallica song, but maybe just being a little boy and having to, you know, grow up or be more mature than you maybe are at that age, you know, and just having parents that are harsher on you. I kind of have this weird thing in my house. Like sometimes I want my daughter to be a kid, but I try to treat her like an adult sometimes too. And I think there's a balance as a parent, but I think his parents were probably abusive to him. And of course that's a shitty way, you know, to grow up. So.
Yeah. I worked directly with abused kids for several years, like from the end of 2000 through 2007. That was my main clientele. And a lot of these lyrics really spoke to that, you know, to me, just the things I saw. I cut you like you want me to cut that little child. Like that's a biting lyric there.
Yeah.
and about being a little boy but so old in his shoes. You know, abuse toughens you up for better or worse. I, you know, of course, I lean toward worse. But it also builds that cycle. The killer in me is the killer in you. Oftentimes when you are the victim of such behavior, rather than recognizing the bad in that, that's the only way you know to live.
Yeah.
And so in turn, that child will then grow up to become abusive themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's just terrible. But, you know, a lot of times it's just what they know. You know, you do what you know, and they don't know proper expressions of love. They think that's just how it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's rough.
No, it's super rough. And I think that is like, I was with someone a long time in my life that grew up with like a super abusive home. And he's like quite the opposite. And I've always admired that about him, because I don't think a lot of people can overcome those things and realize that, like, well, I got a bum deal in life, but I can choose to be different. You know, some people just don't have that. I don't know if it's a mental thing or what, but I always thought that was super cool. Cause you know, some people just, they're going to be the way they're raised is how they're going to be, you know? And I don't know why some people can overcome that, but it seems like not that many people can. So it's kind of sad. Does Billy Corgan, does he have kids? Do we need to be worried?
You know, he does have a child. It's the NWA champion, Cody Rhodes.
Oh gosh. I was actually shocked when you told me that.
Yeah, guys, that's a bit of fun byproduct of the show. Yeah, I guess it's not really common knowledge that Billy Corgan owns a professional wrestling organization.
Not for me anyways. It probably is for y'all.
Yeah, so I got to share that little tidbit with Kelly, and just her reaction was fantastic.
Like, what? Seemed very random. Oh, yeah, gosh.
I don't know if I said this on the show. I know I've said it out loud recently. That when you're in these bizarre situations growing up, that are oppressive and not healthy, I think one of two things is typically going to happen. Either you're going to grow up to be a shitbag of a person, or you're going to do something great. I think there is very little room for mediocrity. Mm-hmm. Either you learn and you better yourself and you take all that energy and send it in the other direction, or you just keep going down the same shitty path that the people before you took.
Yeah.
So yeah, I commend that gentleman for certainly going the other way. It's not easy. As someone who grew up in a tough house myself, you know, I absolutely have seen the other direction. So yeah, I'm all in on anyone.
Yeah.
Using that motivation to do the right thing.
Yeah. No, when I hear things from people, and I mean, I'm just like, oh, and I said this at my dad's funeral. Like, I feel like, man, like it's shitty not to have both my parents. Like, I'll never deny that the rest of my life. But like, I had good fucking parents. So I'm just always like, man, I don't know. It's better to have like this many years of good than just to have like a lifetime of like, I never really had a good bond with them. They weren't that great. Like, my parents were all in on us, you know, and I don't understand people that grow up in a different environment. So that's sad, you know, and I want my daughter to feel that. But I think that's just because I had that. So it's what I know to give her, you know. But it's horrible. Like, it's just, it's sad. Makes you want to take in all the kids of the world. But, you know, can't do that. Okay.
Oh, and that is why they make a killing with those Sarah McLachlan sad puppy dog commercials.
So... oh, this is like an off the topic. I went to like, I don't know, it was like the beginning of the year. My friend invited me to like a Christian rock show, and I was like, oh, what the hell, I'll go. So I went and
whoa, whoa, back up.
What?
Back to back sentences there. Christian rock show, what the hell? You clearly went into this with the right attitude.
See, I didn't even notice that. That tells you a lot about me. So I was like, I'll go. And now I can't even remember the name of the bands, but it was actually super cool. Like, I was blown away. They were like, they were almost like a metal band. Like, they were like rocking out, whatever. Well, then there's like this thing, and they come around and they're giving out these like flyers to adopt a child. But I didn't realize, like, if they handed you one, that kid was like, that was the only packet. You know what
I
mean?
Oh, no.
So, like, so I took it. And I was like, I'm not going to really do this. And then I was like, oh my God. They're like, if you just leave it sitting there, somebody, you know, that child won't get taken care of and all this. And I was like, oh my gosh. Like, I felt so obligated.
So yeah, it went from adopting child to adopt this child.
Yes. Like, and so I was like, oh my gosh. And my friends that were there were all like, oh, we should have warned you. Because they go to these kind of things all the time, you know, and they were just like, oh my gosh. Well, I was like, I'm not going to do this, which is going to sound horrible, but I was like, I'm not going to do this. And I had to go give it back. And I felt like the biggest piece of trash. But I was like, I'm not going to put my credit card. Oh, gosh. So anyways, that was horrible.
Sorry, sir, but house is all full. Little Julio is going to have to wait another day to eat.
Well, they were like in another country. Now I feel really bad. I should go online. But it was Skillet. That was the band Skillet. But they were like, they rocked, you know. So anyways, it was that's a whole nother story. But
Now, my daughter has adopted one of these children. And every now and then we'll get a letter from Cambodia or wherever it may be with a picture letting us know how well the child's doing. And
you did? That's so nice.
Yeah, the picture's on the fridge right now. I'm recording. Otherwise, I'd go grab it real quick and read it off to you.
Oh, I feel bad. Yeah, I really do.
But we didn't return the flyer, Kelly. We did something.
I know. You're a good person. I'm not. It just felt so weird. Like, I was having a whole experience, and then I was like, I'm gonna put my credit card on here. What? And I'm like, where's this money really going? And I start overthinking that kind of stuff. So I really need to get online and make a donation after the show. Okay.
My God, what a conversational turn. I'm glad that happened.
Okay. I'm going to get us back on track. Okay. So then we have Disarm You With a Smile. And leave you like they left me here to wither in denial, the bitterness of one who's left alone, and then, ooh, the years burn. So, I mean, it's kind of like we're beating a dead horse, I guess, about that. But, I mean, kids, it's like, I was, like, really thinking, like, I guess he must feel alone, you know? I don't know. It's so weird because I grew up in a chaotic house with siblings. And so I don't think about ever being alone because I never was. But my daughter's like this. I mean, she's an only child, so she's alone a lot, you know, and I hope she doesn't feel this way. But I mean, I can see that. But I think it's like, if your parents don't want to be understanding of who you are or get to know how you are, then you're going to feel alone, you know, and that's pretty shitty.
Now, you skipped over, I think, a crucial turning point of this song.
Oh, did I?
A very small bit, but I think it's very important.
Okay.
In the middle of the previous paragraph, the killer in me and the killer is you. The killer in me is the killer in you. But then he says, my love, I send this smile over to you. This is someone who's choosing not to counteract with violence, but is extending a smile either to not sell the emotional damage or to, or to retaliate in kindness and kind of turn the other cheek a bit, as we were talking about a minute ago.
Oh, I didn't think about it that way.
See, your boy's thinking.
I know. I wasn't even thinking about that. And that says, I mean, that's awesome if you can do that, you know?
Yeah, disarm you with a smile and leave you like they left me here. I had touched on working with abused kids. A lot of those kids were in the foster system. I don't know if William Corgan was himself a foster child, but that is what this screams to me. Leave you like they left me here. Like, he says specific, leave you, and then like they left me here. Was he in a home situation and then was abandoned, and now this foster system is kicking his ass? Which happens. You see a lot of people who will adopt kids just to get that money up and not actually take care of them. Or they'll have 8 kids in the house at once and doing their best, but you can't watch them all. They're trying to do the right thing. But like I said, abuse fosters abuse. You have a 12-year-old in there with an 8-year-old, and all that 12-year-old knows is getting the shit kicked out of him. Oftentimes, the siblings will abuse each other, which is terrible. And here I am, bringing my sunshine to the show.
Yes. Oh, well, I knew this song was going to be depressing. Yeah. So.
I'm not saying that it's a foster situation, but I won't rule it out with that set of lines.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's sad. Well, yes, I skipped over that. Thanks for catching me on that.
That's what I do. We are a team, Kelly.
I know. We are a team. All right. And then next part we got, I used to be a little boy, so old in my shoes, and what I choose is my voice. What's a boy supposed to do? The killer in me is the killer in you, my love. Same thing. But I think it's interesting because up like in the earlier, instead of saying voice, he says choice. And then down here, he, you know, chooses the word voice. And I don't know if that's because he literally, but I don't think it's because he became a singer, but maybe just that he found his voice in life, you know, so that he could share his thoughts through music. I mean, I think sometimes some of the, like, I don't, this is going to sound bad. Some of the like strangest people that I know though are very creative minded in like music or writing or things like that. And so, and probably just some of the turmoil they've been through in life, that's their outlet, you know, how he could do that. I think what, I think I had read though, I think it was his parents that he lived with. And, but I just think if you live under harshness with your family, I mean, some people are very hard on their children, you know, and don't allow them to be themselves. And maybe that's just what he lived in, but probably physical abuse, emotional, pretty crappy.
I like that pickup. What I choose is my voice. The one thing I did have time to read before we started was an interview with Billy, where he said when they were recording this album, that he was like looking forward to it because there's a big major league breakthrough. But at the same time, he knew the phone calls were going to start coming in from family. Because a lot of the lyrical content is so raw and emotional and biographical that, you know, people started calling and they kept calling. And you know, some of them were apologetic, but some of them doubled down or were in denial. And you know, at that point, I think you really nailed it when you said, because he's a singer, you know, this is what he does. This is his expression.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, he sings for those who don't have a voice, I think, in this particular song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, and that's just what it is. And I think that happens to several people. I know the gentleman I was talking about earlier, that was something that happened to his family, if I'd known or whatever. But I just feel like if you know someone that's like a kid in your life is being treated bad and you look the other way, like you're just like you're trash. Like, I don't know. I just don't get it. But a lot of times too, everyone's being abused in the house, you know, the mom, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just kind of just, it's a bad situation, you know? And I didn't have to live in that. So I don't understand it. But I could see that if you're being abused and then someone's abusing your children, I mean, you're all being abused, so you're not going to know to stand up, you know, maybe. So.
And guys, just a helpful tip here. If you do find yourself in a medical setting, oftentimes they will ask you, do you feel safe in your home? And even if that person who is the aggressor is in the room, that is a great opportunity to speak up.
Yeah.
Legally, if you report that to a nurse or doctor, they have to follow up. And I know it could be scary dealing with the system, but, you know, you can't let that shit go unchecked. You just can't.
My doctor asked me that. I swear every time I go, no matter what's going on, say, is someone you love or care about abusing you? You know, she has a whole thing. It's like every time. But it's true. I mean, some people don't have anywhere to go or anyone to tell. So exactly.
All right. Well, that about wraps up the happiest episode of Songs with Friends we've done here.
I'm telling you. And then you learned how horrible I am that I backed out on a poor child.
Yes, we talked about how important it is to use your privilege to help up others. And then you had that packet.
I will do it in here where I live. That's what I do.
The pamphlet where you could give that little fellow some drinking water and a pair of fucking Air Monarchs.
I know. I buy everybody that comes to my door and every kid that's selling whatever, I buy it. So I make up for it.
Tisk, tisk, tisk.
I know. Horrible.
All right. So Kelly, earlier we did mention the possibility of guests in the near future. So I will say that the next show we do may not be just the two of us. But
okay.
But go ahead and let us know what songs you pick for the episode that will be just the two of us.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I don't know why this is funny. I'm going to do a Taylor Swift song. My daughter is on me about this. So we're going to do Wildest Dreams by Taylor Swift.
Wild.
I know you're going to be super excited, and I saw Taylor Swift in concert. I'm going to, you know, I'm very excited about that too.
You know, I'm familiar with Miss Swift. I'm very familiar with that song.
Okay.
My daughter was in a Taylor Swift phase for a little bit, thanks to a wonderful promotion with the good people at Papa John's, who included the damn thing in a pizza we ordered.
What? Like a CD or what?
Yeah, you got the Red album with like two toppings or some shit.
Shut up.
So we ended up with it. I think it was Papa John's. It could have been Domino's. I don't know.
Yeah.
Miss Swift doesn't look like she is very, very steadfast in her pizza association.
No, I saw her up close. Girl is probably not eating pizza.
So. My goodness. All right. And I will go the opposite end of the spectrum. Last time we kind of did a rap song with Ice Ice Baby. This time we will do a Coming of Age, the sequel by Jay-Z and Memphis Bleek from 1998. Now, Kelly, I will send you the lyrics to this directly because when I tried to Google them, because this is a sequel, it kept taking me to the original song, which is not what I wanted.
Yeah, we don't want a Ghostface Killah where I got like the totally wrong song.
Yeah, okay. It's an hour before go time, and you're like, I got nothing here.
Yeah.
Like, that's like, because you're looking at nonsense.
Yes. All right, you'll send me the link. Awesome.
Yes. Anything you want to plug before we head out for the day?
No, I guess you could just follow me on Twitter or Instagram at CalJean17.
All right, like I said, look for my appearance with Rich Fan, Bruce Mitchell, and others on the Pro Wrestling Torch site if you have access to that. I don't know if those will be free shows or if those will be behind the VIP paywall. Follow me at Twitter at NotDrDeath, NotDrDeath, at PTBN_songs for the official show Twitter, and send us an email at PTBNSongsWithFriends@gmail.com. For Kelly, this is Steve. Thanks for joining us.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, pro wrestling announcer Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you are all subscribed to all the great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. It's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, which, of course, includes the full archives of the Kevin Kelly Show, the Place to Be Nation pod feed, and the Pro Wrestling Only feed. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And be sure to give Justin your true thoughts. I mean, don't hold back. After all, he is kind of a jerk. Just listen to Scott.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, we bring you the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, along with Main Event, Survey Says, the Monday Night Wars, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction show, as well as Jeff Learns Wrestling. In addition to these full-length shows, we also deliver special network podcasts and pod blasts on topics old and new.
Over on the Pro Wrestling Only feed, we dive deep inside the wrestling business with a stacked army of experts leading the way. The feed features potpourri shows such as This Week in Wrestling, Greetings from Allentown, Match of the Week podcasts, and the Military Industrial Suplex. We also have shows that focus intently on certain topics like Through the Years, Worldcast, Strong Style History, Strong Style Story, and Mount Olympus. Plus, the feed has the full archives of legendary shows like Titans of Wrestling, Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Center Stage, and Letters from Kayfabe, plus much more. And on our very popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as Talkin' Pop, the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, NBA Team, PTBN Play, Sunday Groove, Breaking Balls, and Lucha Undead,
as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans
with the Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversations, Geek and Sassy, and Marvel Age Podcasts.
You can find all of these current shows, plus archives of our past podcasts, including the Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback today. All these shows, plus others, available at PlayStation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlayStation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping, and download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh eBooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlayStation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We'll be right back.